VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
Thank you for joining us today on Crosstalk. If you're a regular listener, you are well aware of what's happening in our nation today. I mean, we see an attempt to overthrow our Constitution, overthrow capitalism, turn us into a socialist nation. We see a destruction of our nation's history, indoctrination of the classroom, sports teams who are seeming to be more enamored with making political statements than playing sports, anarchy in the streets. There's lawlessness, rebellion, a greater push, ladies and gentlemen, going on toward a one-world political system, a one-world economic system, and a one-world spiritual system. Well, this rapid rate at which things is happening is absolutely staggering. And according to our guest today, the United States is in very deep trouble. Many have been asking, is this the end of America? Joining us today for a comment on these and related issues, we welcome back Gary Kah. Gary is founder and director of Hope for the World. He was a former Europe and Middle East trade specialist for the state of Indiana government. In 1987, he was invited to join the World Parliament, Constitution Parliament Association, one of the organizations that was involved at the forefront of promoting the world government agenda. Then during the next several years, he obtained detailed documents which demonstrated that the push toward a one-world government was active. It was rapidly advancing. He is the author of En Route to Global Occupation, The New World Religion, and has been actively engaged in monitoring the times in which we live, exposing them, and also seeking to turn people's heart and mind toward God. Gary, thank you for joining us here today on Crosstalk.
Jim, it's always good to be with you.
Gary, you've actually been asked this question many times. Is this it? Is this the end of America? How do you respond to that?
Well, I've been telling people over the last few months, if the current downward spiral of sin, chaos, and lawlessness continues, then yes, our days as a free nation are numbered. And I've merely been stating the obvious, and that is, without the direct intervention of God, we're sunk. At this point, something drastic has to happen. God will need to intervene in some way to stop this cycle, this downward spiral. And I believe the only way that that might happen is if there is a large-scale repentance of individuals in this nation and a revival where people really get serious about the Lord in a way that we haven't as a nation for a long, long time. I'm talking about a Nineveh type of repentance and turning back to God. If that happens, then it's not too late. God can still do a mighty work at this point, but time is running out, I believe.
Well, Gary, so often when I hear this verse quoted, I should say I hear it misquoted several times, and normally when I hear it misquoted, I hear the leaving out of the phrase, and turn from their wicked ways.
You're right. Yeah, I just wrote an article recently. I titled it, God Help Us. Mm-hmm. And in there, I kind of open up with 2 Chronicles 7:14, and I make that point. You know, we're so familiar with that passage, but oftentimes when it's referred to, they leave out the part, and turn from their wicked ways. Of course, it reads, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Mm-hmm. And so today in America, many Christians are praying. They realize there are some major problems and things are going in the wrong direction. Some are humbly seeking God, but how many of us are actually turning from our wicked ways? I mean, I'm talking about a true repentance where we surrender everything, ourselves completely to the Lord and make ourselves available to Him and say, Lord, here am I. I'm not my own person anymore. I am all yours. I repent of all my sin. any hidden ones, anything I'm holding on to, I let it all go. For your honor and your glory, use me. That type of repentance would go a long way, I believe, right now in leading God to intervene.
Gary, and matter of fact, we're going to be looking over aspects of your paper, God Help Us, because you make so many great points in this paper itself. And I'd like to have us begin by examining some of the troubling issues that are going on right now, and one of which is the topic of racism, which has been front and center. We know Scripture tells us we're all of one blood, we're all of one race, the human race, yet we have great division based on skin color. Your comments as to what's going on right now?
Well, you know, Satan is a master deceiver and manipulator, and he always tries to divide and conquer. And so racism is something that he has used over the years in this country and in other places around the world to do that. And so the turbulence and upheaval that we're seeing right now here in our country will not lead to racial justice and better times. I believe it will bring about greater division and hatred. In fact, that's already obvious. And the thing is, so much progress had been made, and on the economic front as well. Young black men, more were employed than ever before. Things were improving in a lot of areas. But then there are these few incidences over the last few years that have happened that the liberal media really blew up and focused on. And it got a lot of people riled up, and there was a lot of organization behind that riling up that was already in place waiting to lunge until, you know, a certain event happened, and boom, then we're off to the races in a negative kind of way. Mm-hmm. And you've got millions, tens of millions of dollars being poured into the current lawlessness to precipitate that turn it into mass anarchy. So this is about a lot more than race. It's about the devil trying to create a crisis in our country that will actually pit whites and blacks against each other, because that is one of the things that has to happen to bring our country down, which then makes it so weak that it can be forced into a world socialist system. And that's how the devil operates. He's basically a crisis manager. Wherever you find sin and lawlessness and Satan manipulating things, ultimately it's going to lead to a bigger and bigger crisis, and then he takes advantage of that. So in a nutshell, that's how I size up the current situation. Mm-hmm. It's just, I'm personally surprised, Jim, how many people in the Christian community, both whites and blacks, have been unwittingly duped into throwing their support behind this movement that's taking place right now. I believe many of them are well-intentioned, but they haven't done their research to know what these organizations are all about, who founded them, who's funding them, and what they really want to accomplish through them. And so that's really what we need to get at.
Yeah, and I'd like to explore that, Gary, because, I mean, those of us who saw what happened to George Floyd, I mean, just totally repulsed by what we saw. There is a movement, though, that's called Black Lives Matter, that is far more than skin color issues. Tell us what's behind this movement.
Well, there are historic ties behind BLM to Louis Farrakhan's Nation of Islam, also the Black Panthers, and the LGBTQ movement. In fact, it's practically connected at the hip with that movement. Also, they have been strongly opposed to strongly opposed to traditional family values, pushing everything but that. And there's also an overarching anti-Semitic, anti-Israel thrust, and that's just for starters. So basically, the core values that followers of Jesus stand for, the BLM leaders reject and stand vehemently against. I mean, we're on complete opposite sides on this. And black as well as white Christians that have funneled naively into the Black Lives Matter movement need to understand, again, what is at the core of this, that it is actually a very anti-Christian socialist movement. And All of this, a lot of this, was really fueled by Antifa when it first got going, and then Black Lives Matter really helped to fuel the fire and bring the numbers in, and now it's spinning out of control. I do want to comment briefly on a couple of the founders. I was doing some research, and I found an excellent article on this. It is actually from a 2015 interview with the Real News Network. They interviewed Ms. Patrice Cullors, one of the founders of Black Lives Matter, and she is a Marxist-Leninist. In fact, in the interview, Cullors said, and I quote, "The first thing, I think, is that we actually do have an ideological frame. Myself and Alicia, one of the other founders, in particular, are trained organizers. We are trained Marxists. And I think that what we really try to do is build a movement that could be utilized by many, many black folk." Now, those are her exact words.
Now, Gary, let me just put some feet to what you just said. Here is the audio clip people can hear with their own ears.
I also think that it might... I think of a lot of things. The first thing I think is that we actually do have an ideological frame. Myself and Alicia in particular are trained organizers. We are trained Marxists. We are super versed on sort of ideological theories. And I think that what we really try to do is build a movement that could be utilized by many, many black folk.
So, Gary, this is the co-founder in her own words, that it's the exact quote that you just shared with us.
That's right. And just as an example of some other statements, you'll remember, and I'm sure most of the listeners will remember, a few years ago, the gay nightclub shooting in Orlando, Florida.
Yeah, Pulse.
49 people were killed, I think over 50 wounded. And a few days after that took place, there was an interview or a statement actually put out by Black Lives Matter regarding the person that carried out that incident and shifting the blame. And if people don't remember, the shooter was a self-proclaimed Muslim jihadist, okay? So keep that in mind. Now, here's what Black Lives Matter posted on their website regarding that incident. I'm just going to share a few excerpts. They said, "Despite the media's framing of this as a terrorist attack, we are very clear that this terror is completely homegrown, born from the anti-black, white supremacy, patriarchy, and homophobia of the conservative right and of those who would use religious extremism as a weapon to gain power for the few and take power from the rest. Those who seek to profit from our deaths hope we will forget who our real enemy is and blame Muslim communities instead."
Hmm.
Now, one other quick statement.
I tell you what, we're right up against a break here. So rather than interrupt that, let's take the break. We'll come right back. Gary Kaas with us today. We're looking at his article just recently penned, "God Help Us," giving us an account of our current state of affairs as a nation right now and some of the movements that are going on to utterly destroy that which our nation was founded upon. Back in a minute. You're listening to Crosstalk.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, scientist with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, why do scientific dating methods seem to indicate that the world has a vast age?
Chris, in most dating efforts, you must observe a present-day process and the state of that system affected by that process. Then you conclude how long it would take for that process to produce the present state. The main assumption is that the rate of that process has never been much different than it is now. For instance, we might date the Mississippi Delta by estimating how long it would take for the Mississippi River to bring enough silt down to build up that huge delta. But if a great flood had occurred in the past, the rate of delta buildup might have been much different than today. If we include Noah's flood in our thinking, then most dating techniques actually give a date far too young to have allowed for evolution to occur. They're consistent with the biblical doctrine of the young earth, the one we read about back in Genesis.
For more information, visit our website at icr.org.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Gary Kai is with us today, founder and director of Hope for the World. And he has recently penned an article called God Help Us, and reviewing that here on this program today, taking a look as to where we are, what are some of these forces at work right now to overthrow what we know as a constitutional republic. We're looking into the aspect right now of some of the foundings and founders of Black Lives Matter. And Gary, we've already found out that that there is this bent that is it goes. This is not about skin color. It's about their mission. We got LGBT activists, Marxism, very much a part of this. You had another quote that you were going to share with us.
Yes, and this also reflects further the worldview of Black Lives Matter. This was from the article they posted after the Orlando nightclub shooting. It goes, we need a world that realizes that the word terrorist is not synonymous with Muslim any more than criminal is synonymous with black. The enemy is now and has always been the four threats of white supremacy, patriarchy, capitalism, and militarism. These forces and not Islam create terrorism. These forces and not queerness create homophobia. These forces unleash destruction primarily on those who are trans and queer and brown and black, and we are the first to experience its violence. So it would be helpful probably, but that was the end of the quote. It would be helpful to for people to realize that two of the three founders of Black Lives Matter are far leftist homosexuals. So you're dealing with Marxist-Leninist homosexuals driving this organization and the broader movement. And beyond that, just something else I stumbled across, Ms. Patrice Cullors, who I quoted earlier, the Marxist-Leninist, she was mentored for more than a decade by Eric Mann. If that rings a bell, he is an avowed communist revolutionary. Mann was a member of radical left wing militant groups, including the Weather Underground, which of course was designated years ago by the FBI's domestic terrorist group. And they're into all kinds of stuff. And again, this is about a clash of worldviews. They are opposed to the traditional Christian worldview. They want to usher in a socialist Marxist worldview. And to do that, they have to collapse the current system. And if they can use race somehow to do that, they will. And the media is obliging them. 90% of them are on the same page. And so you've got all these elements, including many university professors, all pushing this same agenda. And they understand as long as our constitutional republic is strong, it would be almost impossible to merge or force the U.S. into a socialist world government. So trying to bring the U.S. to its knees in various ways, economically too, I believe that's in motion. And who knows what will happen this fall as more and more companies are closing their doors because of COVID-19 and all of that. That's a whole other matter. But you put that and the racial tension together, and we just have a real powder keg we're facing right now in this country.
Yeah, indeed, a powder keg is a very accurate description. And another aspect to all of this, Gary, that you point out is you even have now Satanists and witches that are joining in.
Yes. and it's not a secret. This is front and center now. You've got, there was an article, actually, I want to give LifeSiteNews.com credit for this. It was a June 16th article that broke this story that I quote in my article. And their article was titled, Witches and Satanists Have Teamed Up with Leftists to Destroy America. And then they go on to talk about it. You've got Satanists and witches invoking evil powers to aid those participating in the violence. The article says the witches do not hide their involvement in the violent protests. Witches' covens are actively engaged in hexing police. They especially target those who are risking their lives to stop the riots. The witches also cast spells asking for protection for protesters that confront the police. And it goes on and on from there. The hashtag, Witches for BLM, of course, Witches for Black Lives Matter, serves as a meeting place for practicing witches who want to learn how to cast protection spells, draw occult sigils and hex police. 5 days after this hashtag started, it garnered 10 million views on the TikTok app.
Hmm.
So this is no small thing. I mean, a lot of people are into this. So we're mixing the occult now with this anti-police hatred and defunding the police and that whole element and the anarchy. So what a mix that we're seeing of just raw wickedness.
And you've got Council on American Islamic Relations joining in on this, too. Here's a headline right from CARE. CARE Houston to join Black Lives Matter. I mean, it is such that we're seeing an interesting conglomeration of groups that are all coming into this movement.
Well, you know, Satan is the author of rebellion and the perpetrator of lawlessness,
mm-hmm.
According to Scripture. And together with this team of anarchists, witches, political leftists, people with an anti-Christian worldview from various backgrounds, he is seeking to completely dismantle and destroy this country. And the really sad irony in all of this, for minority groups especially who've become involved in this current upheaval, is that they are destroying the very country that has afforded them the most opportunities of any nation on earth.
Wow.
They will ultimately be hurt the most by these actions. I mentioned it in my article, Jim, that I've traveled to close to 40 countries around the world over the years. I have not been in any country with the exception of one, and I'll mention that in a moment, where there has been so much freedom and opportunity for minorities as this country. And a lot of people in the minorities don't realize that until they leave the country for a while. And those who have, many of them, gladly come back. And so I'm not saying we have a perfect country and that things can't be improved, because they definitely can. And I address that as well in the article. But to try to totally destroy this country isn't going to end up well for anyone. And I mentioned that there's one country that I can think of that has done really, really well, and where there has been a tremendous amount of opportunity, and it's the island nation of Barbados. My wife Audrey and I were invited to go there years ago to share at a number of churches, and they were predominantly black churches. In fact, Barbados is something like 92% to 93% black and 2% to 3% white. But they have done so well. It's incredible what those people have done. Over 99% literacy rate, which is the highest in the Western Hemisphere. Mm-hmm. And the Barbadian Christians, they were among the most loving, hospitable, godly people we'd ever met. I could have just stayed there. I mean, I loved it. And so here's an island nation that is almost all black that is doing very, very well. Why? Because they have had very strong Bible-believing black leaders over the years, leaders who've been backed by the citizens of that country, who, by the way, are 70% Protestant, approximately 3% Catholic. And so here's an example. Again, not a perfect place at all. They've got their own share of problems, but a place where people are doing very well because they've maintained their Christian ethic and strong Christian leadership. So the bottom line is a true faith in Jesus Christ makes all the difference in the world. Without a close personal walk with him and without strong Christian leadership in a country, we're simply no match for Satan in this fallen world. And the sooner people would realize that, the sooner we'd get out of this mess. But it doesn't seem like masses of people are coming around. It seems like things are getting worse by the day right now. So I'm trying to hold out hope. You know, we call ourselves Hope for the World, and we do have the eternal hope in Jesus Christ. But from a physical standpoint right now, things are deteriorating at such a rapid pace that it's becoming more and more difficult to hold out hope and say, hey, things are going to get better, the best days for America are still ahead, because unless something drastic happens that leads God to intervene in our situation, I believe over the next few months we're going to see things that are unthinkable in this country, unfortunately.
Gary Kaa is our guest today here on Crosstalk. And by the way, his website is garykaa.org. Kaa is spelled K-A-H, garykaa.org. You'll find a link on his site to this article and even a previous article that we discussed with him when he was with us in April of 2020. And check it out, garykaa.org. He's got a newsletter information there as well. Gary, as you're aware, while this is all going on, there is just a huge campaign going on in cities across this nation to defund the police. We see this war on police. We've seen just a number of horrendous killings of officers killed in the line of duty. And we see others that are throwing into this mix here, the defunding of border guards, defunding of our military, and yet we are seeing crime, we're seeing looting, shootings, killings skyrocketing across this nation. Your comments on this effort to defund the police?
Well, I mean, it's pure insanity to remove the police. For people, smart people, to do that, you have to believe there's an intent behind it, some type of an agenda, because surely nobody can be that naive. I can't even believe, you know, that we're talking about this every day now.
Yeah.
The absence of law enforcement from our cities would force, ultimately, law-abiding citizens to bear arms. I believe it's just a matter of time till that happens, because they're going to have to in order to protect their families, homes, and businesses. So then at that point, we'd be crossing the threshold, really, from civil unrest to civil war, which, again, is what the socialists want. The Marxists want that. And so how do you create more lawlessness? You take the police presence out of communities, then there's more crime, more rioting, more looting, more threats to businesses, homeowners, who then have to bear arms to begin to fight back, and then things begin to spin out of control. I put a lot of the blame for this on the leftist socialist media because they have pushed this agenda very clearly from day one, and it's completely one-sided. They've manipulated the facts. They've been intentionally biased against law and order. For example, each month, numerous law enforcement officers, really of all colors, are violently killed in the line of duty in the United States while protecting innocent civilians. Yet, these incidents almost never get any national coverage. They may get some in the local media for a little bit, but nationally they get almost nothing. In a typical year in the United States, several times as many police officers, many of them black, are killed on the job as young black men who are killed by police. This is an intentionally ignored and mostly unreported fact by our media. And
say that phrase again, because I think I may have heard you. You said young black men?
Yes. In a typical year in this country, several times as many police officers, many of them black, mm-hmm. are killed on the job as young black men who are killed by police.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so when a young black man gets killed by police, it makes the national news. But if you have a police officer, a black police officer killed, that rarely makes the news. And so it taints this whole picture and presents a false narrative.
Yeah, it rarely makes the news on a national basis. Folks, we'll be back in a minute. Gary Kaa is our guest. You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America.
Year after year, generation after generation, we as Americans enjoy the right and opportunity to let our voices be heard through the election of our governing officials. With over 200 years of peaceful transition from one elected body to another, the stability of America's republic stands alone among nations. Our founders pledged their life, their fortune, and their sacred honor in the establishment of this nation. Our country's founding documents have guided this nation and are the substance by which today's laws are judged. Do you own a copy of the Constitution? Documents of Freedom is a pocket-sized booklet containing the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, and all other amendments passed. The booklet also features the Declaration of Independence and Washington's Farewell. Documents of Freedom is available for a donation of $5 or more to VCY America and can be made by calling 1-800-729-9829. That's 1-800-729-9829.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Our guest today is Gary Kahn. Gary is the founder and director of Hope for the World. His website is garykahn.org. That's spelled K-A-H, Gary, G-A-R-Y, K-A-H dot org. You'll find information on his site going much more into detail than what we can get out through the broadcast itself. His recent posting of the article, God Help Us. Previously, he was with us this past April on COVID-19, a global conditioning. Very insightful article there as well. He's got a newsletter on his site that you can subscribe to as well at garykahn.org. Gary, we're talking about right now this effort of defunding the police that is going on. And so often, I mean, yes, we agree the death of George Floyd was tragic. But the question is, how many times have we seen that with our eyes on newscasts repeated over and over and over again? And yet an officer who sacrifices his life in the line of duty, there may be an occasional national mention, local mentions for sure, but the story dries up and goes away.
Yeah, exactly. And that's just it. It's not that... the fact that a young black man is killed unjustly should not be focused on or emphasized. But along with that, you need also all the killings of law enforcement officers unjustly. That should be emphasized as well. That would change the whole picture, because the way it's being painted right now, it makes it look like every policeman is a racist who's out there intentionally going around trying to kill every young black man that they can. I mean, that's the narrative that's been generated, and a lot of young people then are getting behind this movement that's actually a Marxist movement at its core, and they're helping to destroy our country, not realizing what they're really involved in. Just a few more statistics here. According to the FBI, 48 officers were killed in 2019 as a result of felonious acts. Of the 48 officers killed last year, 7 were black. Their average age was 40. Some of them left behind widows with children. And again, some of the local media outlets did cover that, but the national media rarely will. And if they covered that as much as they would when a young black man is killed by a police officer, I think there'd be more balance to this whole thing. Yes, it's terrible what happened to George Floyd. The second time I watched it, I had to turn off the television. It made me sick. Yeah. And so angry and disgusted, I can't even tell you. It's unjust for that to happen. But there are also other injustices that happen, and those are not highlighted. So it paints a one-sided picture and makes all law enforcement appear bad, to the point now where there's a national movement to defund police, which is just completely ridiculous. So again, the only plausible reason for this deplorable unfairness is that the socialist media has an agenda. And it is a globalist agenda that happens to align with that of the revolutionaries working for the demise of America, one of divide and conquer, ultimately.
And Gary, you see the attempts being made to destroy our heritage, our history, whether good or bad, issues that have taken place, but the monuments coming down, the defacing going on, and some of these are even of black abolitionists.
Yeah, there's no rhyme or reason to it. And again, I believe that Antifa and the anarchists are behind a lot of this, and they're riding this Black Lives Matter movement. And, you know, there's some disagreement among some of the people in these movements, but overall it's all leading to lawlessness. And you can't remove history from a country. You need to learn from it, you know, rather than destroy it all. If you do, it only helps lead the way to repeat the mistakes of the past. So I'm shocked still to see how much damage has been done in just the last few weeks, with the monuments, but also the hundreds of businesses that have been destroyed, most of them of minority business owners. And so, you know, some of these people are never going to recover. I mean, they're basically out of business. And so you can only understand this if you realize that this is a clash of two worldviews, and that the goal of these people in the leadership positions of this movement is to literally destroy America and take it down so that we can be forced into a Marxist system. Unless people get that, they won't really see and understand what this is ultimately all about.
So what brought us to this point, Gary?
A lot of ignoring of the truth of the Word of God. For years, how many years now has there been increasingly open rebellion in the United States? I mean, you could argue that it started in the 60s. Prior to that, it was there, but it was more behind the scenes. And little by little, ideas crept into the churches. Churches were liberalized. Our Christian universities were liberalized. In fact, it's one of the best places for kids to get messed up these days. Many of the so-called Christian universities that are teaching interfaithism and tolerating immorality and even encouraging it, and alternative lifestyles and everything else. So it crept so far into Christendom that there's just a small minority grouping of Christians that have held on to the Word of God as it is written, the real principles of Jesus, and are walking in fellowship with Him. Many people in this country call themselves Christian, but the vast, vast majority of them, there's no way they could be Christians. If they were, we wouldn't be in this mess. And so there's really been a failure of Christianity overall by not waking up sooner to the devil's schemes and taking a stronger stand. Mm-hmm. And we're all guilty to a degree. I mean, you and I, we're doing what we can. We can always do more. But we need to now, as a nation at this late hour, get serious and realize this is not a fluke. This crisis isn't going to go away. It's going to get worse and take our country down unless people get serious now and get right with the Lord and ask the Lord, what would you have me do as an individual to make a difference right now with my neighbors, in my community, on my job? And I believe with God's help, we could still turn things around, but it has to happen quickly because things are moving forward, and I have reason to believe this fall that there is going to be an effort by the globalists, by the socialists, in part through the COVID-19 shutdowns, to try to take our economy into the ground, and in doing so, pin it on the Trump administration and try to influence the election in that way. And if that happens, on top of everything else, and it well could, you know, our unemployment rate is at 11% right now. I don't think it's going to go much lower than that. It may start going back up again because a lot of businesses are shutting, and there will be more in August and September, I believe. So this is a multifaceted problem, but again, breaking it down, it began with the faltering of Christianity after World War II, with organizations like the World Council of Churches and other very liberal, ultimately interfaith organizations that started in the name of Christianity, penetrated our churches, our schools of theology, and put out a liberal Christianity that's very little different from what the world is. And so then the world began seeing the hypocrisy within Christianity and saying, hey, you're no different than we are. You're just acting self-righteous, but you're no better than I am. And things began to disintegrate from there. And I know that's a bit of a simplistic summary. There's more to it, but I think that's what is at the root of all this.
Gary Kahn with us today. Our phone number to Crosstalk is 800-733-9829. If you have a question for Gary or a brief comment, 1-800-733-9829. No wonder why the title of this article is God Help Us, because it is only through God's help that this ship can be righted, that we can get back on course once again. That number again here to Crosstalk, 800-733-9829. To access the information from Gary Kahn, again, his website is garykahn.org, garykahn.org. Well, our phone lines have just filled up nearly instantaneously here, so we'll be picking up your calls. As soon as you hear somebody hang up with us, that's your opportunity to give us a call here. Let's begin with Mark in Newark, Ohio. Mark, you're on the air.
Yes, I'm glad you have this on because he's right about everything he's talking about, and I see it coming before this is even was talked about, and I try to tell everybody this, but as far as he's talked about the Antifa, and now there's groups called themselves the Patriots. They are now they're forming, and they are now confronting Antifa in a peaceful way. But people out here in the rural area where I live in the country, they're stocked up and they're ready to go. If they want to have a civil war, we're ready for it.
Right. And that's the very thing, Gary, that you're concerned about and express it. Thank you, Mark, for the call. This aspect of civil war, there are those who are trying to precipitate and be provocateurs to that very end.
Absolutely. And when rioting broke out here in Indianapolis, the local gun stores, they sold out almost within a few days, except for the real heavy-duty type of guns. But all the easy-to-use guns disappeared off the shelves. In fact, one store owner in a nearby town said a 74-year-old lady who'd never held a gun before in her life came into the store and bought a gun and was trying to figure out how to use it because she lived in a part of town that had become very dangerous, and you know she fears for her life. And so if the police can't step in and if they're not permitted to stop this lawlessness, it's only going to spread. And then ultimately, citizens are going to bear arms to fight back, and you're going to have a civil war on your hands. And that's why it's so important that the police are not defunded. And so people listening to this program right now who live in cities that are pushing the defund police movement, Seattle, New York, and others, you need to get on your elected officials and hold their feet to the fire right now and say, we're gonna blame you for whatever goes wrong in this city for doing this because it is completely unacceptable.
Let's go to Trevor in Wausau, Wisconsin. You're on the air.
I just had a comment and then a quick question. Regarding this Black Lives Matter issue in the church as well, I don't believe any Christian should be bowing for anybody but Jesus Christ. And, you know, white people don't owe black people anything. Take it from, a biracial guy. You guys don't owe black people anything. You know, this whole movement is racist, and if black lives did matter, there wouldn't be all this crime in the black neighborhood. They've been doing this for years.
Trevor, let's see.
My question is, I just realized how much my wife didn't know about the Bible. How do I start a Bible? How do I initiate that? I don't know where to start with her.
Very good question. There are resources that are good with this. Trevor, first of all, being a good Bible-believing church is so critical for that and that discipleship. But also there are certainly studies. Going through the Gospel of John together would certainly be a good start. If you are able to even contact our bookstore, talk with Rick or Ryan, they've got resources there that can be a help to you. The number is 1-888-722-4829, 1-888-722-4829, but certainly being a good Bible-believing church and just getting into the Word of God, reading and studying it together, and like our bookstore has some resources that can be a help there. Up against a break, Gary Carr, our guest, will be right back.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House. Our website's worldviewreport.com. Recently, I had the opportunity to interview Dr. Judy Mikovich. She's the author of yet another book. This one, The Case Against Masks, 10 Reasons That Wearing a Mask Should Be Limited. She goes into the scientific detail about, what happens when you wear a mask and breathe in your own breath. What happens when you wear a mask? Are you really stopping the spread of the coronavirus? Well, as one doctor has said, putting up a chain link fence and thinking you're stopping mosquitoes is crazy. But it's the same thing with the mask. The virus is so small and the pores in the average mask are so big. So what's really going on here? Is it just fake science or is this about control? Is this the social sciences of group consensus to destroy individuality, to condition the people to go along with whatever the government tells them to do? Isn't it time the American people start asking tough questions? Maybe they should read The Case Against Masks by Dr. Judy Mikovich.
Mm-hmm. And I trust our last caller is still listening. Another resource for you. This past March, we launched the VCY Bible Institute. And there are online courses free of charge for you to take and to work through just a number of topics. You've got Carl Kirby from Reasons for Hope. That's one of the speakers on there. Dr. Jimmy DeYoung from Prophecy Today, and a whole number of courses from Dr. Les Olala that is on there as well that will certainly be a help in that discipleship area. And that's vcybible.org, vcybible.org. Let's go to Gary in Ironwood, Michigan. Gary, you're on the air.
Hi, Jim. Hi, Gary. I've got a question about the inner-city murders of black people on black people. Why is not that reported? And it seems to be more than is going on in the street, even between police and civilians.
It's, yeah.
It's ridiculous.
It's a good question, Gary. And Gary Kyle, we have seen, I mean, the shootings that are coming forth from cities like Chicago and Seattle and Washington, D.C., he's talking about this black-on-black crime. Why is that winked at in a movement of Black Lives Matter?
Yeah, in some of the local media markets, that is covered on an evening, you know, on a daily basis, the shootings going on. But the statistics aren't focused on it. It's not brought to light. And so people get so used to seeing it on television that it's just part of the evening news on the local news. But, yeah, you're right. The Black Lives Matter movement has not been touching on that at all. Here in Indianapolis, I'll use our own city as an example for a moment. We're on track this year to have over 200 homicides, and we're a city of 800,000. If you do the math on that and a comparison, that's a higher crime rate than Chicago, I do believe, as far as murders go. And it's a vast majority is black-on-black murders. And so that's the biggest problem. And again, so the black communities that are promoting this whole Black Lives Matter agenda and defunding the police, and those two movements are going hand-in-hand now, they're the ones that are going to suffer the most, because it's the people in their communities that are killing each other, more so when the police are taken out. Every single city that has lessened the police presence in it, the crime has gone up. The murders, black on black, have gone up. So by taking police out of the situation, it makes it much, much worse. I think eventually that might be realized, but it might be too late to do any good at the rate things are going right now. But the people in the black community need to wake up very quickly to this fact and demand a police presence in their cities, and go against the local mayors and say, look, I don't care what you say. We want the police in our area patrolling because of the high crime.
Charlie is calling from Lodi, Wisconsin. You're on the air, Charlie.
Yes, thank you for your show. What a godsend. Thank you so much. Just might be a little off topic. You can correct me if I am, but I think some churches, some that I've been going to, biblical evangelical churches, are telling their people, obey the government and wear your mask. And I contacted them, and I put
Charlie,
in our
okay.
To take the chip. Mm-hmm. Should they take a vaccine? Should the Jews have a yellow armband identifying them so they can be thrown in the ovens? I think of two movies.
I tell you what, before we go too far down that trail, we've got callers all lined up. We've got 3 minutes left in the broadcast. Gary, a brief response here to Charlie.
Well, I mean, we do need to be concerned about government overreach and need to take a look at everything. And I do believe that this whole COVID situation is pushing things way too far. And in Sweden, I have a couple of friends. They shared with me that they did virtually nothing in that country except isolate the most vulnerable segments of the population, and they've come through it pretty quickly. So I'm afraid we will not develop herd immunity in this country the way we would have otherwise, because of some of the things that are being done here. And I think they're going to drag this out and use it in the fall to try to collapse the economy. I hope they don't succeed.
Thank you for the call. And again, I'd refer you to Gary's article, COVID-19, A Global Conditioning. David in Santa Fe, New Mexico, you're on the air.
Hi, Jim. Yeah, I'm just was a question for, you know, Gary. I mean, this cabal of power that has taken over the Democratic Party, along with this plan and scamdemic, the hijacking of everything, obviously we can go at every kind of protest and, you know, whatever, loot cities, but you can't meet at church. I mean, this is just like a titanic struggle for the soul of our republic. Mm-hmm. And I've said, you know, God doesn't got to be politically correct. So goes America and Israel, just goes the world.
Yeah.
You know.
Thank you, David. Interesting observation there, Gary.
Yeah, one thing I wish that our government leaders would do, and we haven't talked about this yet, but those who are funding this anarchist movement, how are they able to do so and just walk around as if nothing's happened? George Soros, I mean, how is that guy still, you know, why haven't his assets been seized and he been thrown in jail? I mean, to try to overthrow the government of a country to promote anarchy in every way possible, and yet he seems to be above the law. Something's wrong here, and I think you've got some high players in our own government involved in this. Otherwise, it couldn't move forward the way that it does.
Julie in Duluth, Minnesota, you're on the air. Hello, Julie. Oh, we lost Julie. Let's go to David in Rome, Georgia. You're on the air.
Hi, Jim. I just want to say my question is, why do we put so much importance on race? Everything that we fill out, every petition that we write on, we have to put our race. I've started putting human instead of black or white. I just put human. I'm of the human race. Okay. We're not white and black and brown. We're all brown. Just some are a little darker than others, but we're all brown.
Okay, thank you, David. Gary, we're down 45 seconds here. What would you like to leave with the listeners?
Well, I'll leave you with some of the closing words from my article. It goes right along with what David said. Jesus is the great equalizer. In him, persons of all colors find acceptance, forgiveness, and eternal life. Our souls are of equal value to God. True Christians cannot be racist because we recognize that life is sacred and each one of us has been created by God in his own image. As Christians, we are also united by our common bond with Jesus our Savior as recipients of his mercy and grace. His unity is centered on eternal truth, unlike the false interfaith unity which is built upon deception and will ultimately lead to destruction. For such Holy Spirit-led unity and peace to prevail and our nation to be healed, all of us must humble ourselves as individuals before God with repentant hearts and follow Jesus.
Amen. Amen. Folks, there's more in this article. Check it out at GaryKaa.org. Gary, thank you so much for being with us today and commenting on where things are and how we need to turn back to God.
Thank you, Jim. God bless you.
And folks, thanks for joining us today on Crosstalk.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208, or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.